Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries again today. Let's come to the Heavenly Father in prayer. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we praise you and thank you and worship you for the wonderful blessings of life. We thank you for the Word of God that shows us what to do and how to do it. Now, Lord, I ask you to bless the Word today as it goes out. Bless it to everyone as we talk about this special anointing that you want us to walk in. And I praise you and worship you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. This week we're talking about this anointing and how to walk in this anointing. Yesterday we went over several things that was required according to the Word of God to walk in the Christ kind of anointing. It clearly said that every disciple that is perfect shall be as his master in Luke 6:40. Well, we went over several of those requirements, and now then today we're in Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to start at verse 2. It says in Philippians 2, it says, "Fulfill ye my joy, that you may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, and of one mind." Now, this is what we should be in the church. Now, I realize this is going to be very difficult, because you can't find very many people that think alike in the church. But he says we're supposed to do this. We're supposed to be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one man. Then he says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. There's not supposed to be any strife or vainglory in the body of Christ. Unfortunately, there is. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And then in verse 5 he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now then, if these requirements that we just read here, if this is the kind of mind we need to have, then he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So that's the way Christ thought. That's the way he handled it. So if that's the way he handled it, if we're going to be like him, then this is what we will have to do. Well, let's look and see some ways how we learn to fill our mind with these wonderful things. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4 and start in verse 4. Now, the very first statement made in Philippians 4:4 is, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Now, this is something we have to learn to do on a regular basis. Now, this says we're supposed to do this always. In other words, all the time. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Now, when that says, be careful for nothing, I mean, that's what it says, for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. That means you shouldn't take a drink of water without praying over it and thanking the Lord for it. You're not to be careful in anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, and let your request be made known unto God. And then he says in verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, if we'll do these things that we just got through reading about, this is the beginning point of renewing our mind and making our mind like Christ. Then he says in verse 8, let's look at this. Okay, in verse 8, he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of good report, and if there be any virtue or moral excellence, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, to fill your mind with these kind of pure, holy things, if you're a person that watches secular television and secular radio, you and read secular magazines and secular newspapers, you'll have to get rid of all of that, because you cannot fill your mind with these good, clean, pure, holy things and constantly watch the junk that's on television today. The secular world, the stuff that's out there on television, there may be a very, very small amount of it that's decent, but most of it's not fit to watch, and it will corrupt your mind, and you will not be able to walk in this special anointing of God if you fill your mind and your heart with the trash of the world. You can't go there. You have to purify yourself and cleanse yourself. You have to fill your mind with the mighty things of the living God. Now, these are things that are required if you want to walk in the anointing. Now, if you don't want to walk in the anointing and be able to see people saved, healed, and delivered, if you don't want to do that, well, you don't have to, but it will probably cost you your life at a much younger age, because these are requirements the Lord puts on His children. He wants us to walk holy in all things that we do. And so these are the requirements. Now then, another one of the things that you'll need to learn to do after you learn how to fill your mind, you'll need to take scriptures like Hebrews 4:14, and it says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest, that is Jesus, that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." In other words, you'll have to learn to hold on to your confession. It will be a very difficult thing to do as you start standing on God's word, to stand on it in the face of the devil when he's hitting you every way he can for you to stand on the word of God. But you can do it, and when you do, you'll get to see the Lord do some great and mighty things. Well, in verse 15, it says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities or our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Now, our King, He was without sin, and so He expects us to be without sin. In verse 16, He says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Now then, the throne of grace is in the third heaven. That's where Jesus is at. That's where Paul said he was caught up to, and he was shown all these great and mighty and wonderful things in the third heaven. And right here, the Lord is inviting you and me into the throne of grace to come boldly, He said, before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of need. Now, I have been to the throne of grace so many times as I've learned to walk in obedience to God's word, make sure that all my sins are confessed and repented of. Then I can catch myself up in the Spirit to the throne of grace. And when I go to the throne of grace, then I get to see the Lord answer my prayers and do great and mighty things. And from there, you can really do spiritual warfare, and you can get people saved from there by doing spiritual warfare. Once I learned how to do this, after I learned how to walk in obedience to God's word and how to pray, I began to see many people get saved when I went to the throne of grace or to the third heaven and began to rebuke the enemy and ask the Lord to send the Holy Ghost to convict them of sin and draw them into the kingdom. I began to see the Lord save many people. What a blessing. Now we're going to go to 1 John 3, starting with verse 2. We're going to see some more of these requirements. It said, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure." So if you know you're a son of God, here is another requirement where it says we are to purify ourselves as sons of God and make ourselves pure, just exactly like Jesus was, and He was pure. Then it says in verse 4, "Whosoever committeth sin transgressed also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." So if you break one of God's laws, you'll transgress the law, and you'll literally give the devil legal right to attack you. In verse 5, and it says, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. So there was no sin in him. There is to be no sin in you. Verse 8 says, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither known him. So if you are a child of God, and you abideth in Christ, it says you will not sin. Then it says, verse 7, little children, let no man deceive you, for that doeth he that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. So if we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ, we are supposed to do righteousness, and then we'll be righteous as he is righteous. And in verse 8 says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. And for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, or made known, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So praise the Lord, Jesus came to this earth to destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. So if you and I are children of God, born of God, we are absolutely not to commit sin. We are to walk holy and clean and pure before the Lord. Then he says, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Now, this is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to love one another. We're supposed to walk in love. We're supposed to walk with no sin in our life. And if we'll walk like that, with no sin in our life, then we will begin to be on this path of being like Jesus. Now, this is a great, great place to walk. Because remember, if you commit sin, you'll transgress the law, because this sin is the transgression of the law. And if you do transgress the law, then you're going to open a door to a demonic spirit, and he's going to come in to get you. And as long as you walk holy before God, you will open no doors to the devil. And 1 John 3:8 says that, 1 John 3:8 says the devil cannot get you. If 1 John 5:18 says, if you don't sin, the evil one cannot touch you. So praise the Lord. We'll go again tomorrow. I invite you to call us. If you'd like free audio and video teaching, CDs or DVDs, call us at 940-242-2106. Or get us on the web at www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. And remember, Jesus Christ is Lord, and he loves you with all his heart. Have a blessed day in Christ.